found from the scriptures how we can actually limit God from working and moving in our lives. And the first of the two places that we have spent our time looking at, the first of which I'm going to invite you to turn with me again, in Psalm 78, and we're going to read in verse 41. And it says, "Yea, they turned back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel." So, Father, we thank you for your word. We pray today that we take the limits off. We loose the will of God and the power of God to work freely because we learn and obey to cooperate with you. So thank you for giving each person eyes to see and ears to hear. And we thank you for in advance for all that you'll do, both in the lives of you people here today and when we leave, and it's gone into this world to change people's lives because of it by your mighty power. It's in Jesus' name that we believe you and thank you for it. Amen. Notice again it says, yea, talking about the children of Israel. And if it would be true of them, it could be true of us. It says, they turned back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. And here's what we found in this brief study that we have done over the last few weeks about this, that we found the children of Israel's beliefs and behaviors. Everybody say, beliefs and behaviors. Limited God from working in their lives. And how many know if their beliefs and behaviors limited God from working in their lives, how many know our beliefs and behaviors will limit, it would be the same for us, true for us. So here is something that we need to understand, that although that God is sovereign, how many know that he is Almighty God? Nothing's going to change that. Although he is sovereign, that doesn't mean as some mistakenly teach and think that he just controls everything or that he can just do anything he wants to in our lives. And so I want to give you once again an example of this. This is important. I hope you don't think I'm trying to beat a dead horse, because I believe that this issue about the sovereignty of God, not that God is not sovereign. He is sovereign. He is Almighty God. He's some supreme ruler. But how man and religion interpret it is something different than his word and the Bible definition of sovereign means. Just because God is sovereign, he cannot just, is not free to do anything that he wants. He has bound himself by his own word. He's limited himself in the confines of his own word and what he's declared he can and cannot do. Case in point, the example is this. He doesn't control our choices and our decisions. As much as God will love to make us all be saved, he can't. And he won't, because in his sovereignty, he said, this is how it's going to work. I'm going to give man a free will, and he must choose and must decide to follow me, because love doesn't make someone else love them. Love lets you choose. Love is so lovely that love thinks that everybody that really meets love will want to be loved by love. So in other words, God says, if you really know me, and know that I am love, as the scripture says, and you really see what love is, it'll be so irresistible that you will want me to love you. And I won't have to make you love me. You will just surrender, because God made it so. Because if he made us love him, that means that we're a robot. But he doesn't make us. He didn't make you come to church today. He's not going to make you love your spouse or the person that's in your life. He gives us free will and a choice, and we must understand it's our choices and our decisions, for we have free will, and choices and decisions determine whether we experience God's will and his blessings, or we could say it like this, whether we experience God's highest and his best in our lives or not. God's will and blessings are not automatic. It is not up to God whether we experience his will and blessings, but it's really up to us. So Deuteronomy chapter 30 verse 19 tells us this. It says, I call, God told the children of Israel, and once again, if he told them, his people, this, it'd be true for us, his people. Matter of fact, this is true for anyone. He says, I call I call heaven and earth to record this day against you. I have set before you life and death. Everybody say life and death. Blessing and cursing. Everybody say blessing and cursing. Therefore, look in open book test, and God tells us how to be blessed. Choose life that you and your seed may live. So notice once again, even though that God won't make us do anything or choose Him, or and He can't just make us do those things, He tells us. He gives us a free will, and then in His love for us, He lets us choose. In His love for us, He tells us what will bless us and what will hurt us, and tells us in His love for us to choose what will be a blessing. So that not only it affect us, it would affect those that are part of our lives. Amen. So once again, it's not up to God whether we experience His blessings or not, or His will or not, or His highest and best or not. It's up to us. It's totally up to us. Let me give you another thought concerning this. This is a scripture. Just write it down. They're not going to put it up. In Romans 12:2, you know the scripture. Quoted hundreds of times since I've been the pastor here, but that don't mean that everybody's got it. But you're sharp, you do. So you're going to understand exactly what I'm about to say. It says, in verse 2 of Romans 12, it says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove. Now see, the first part of that verse is what we most of the time focus on. But the will of God, once we know it, helps us to prove what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God is. Notice there's a good, acceptable, and a perfect will of God. Praise God. And so what I'm getting ready to tell you is so important. God, even though He doesn't, He tells us what His will is so that in hopes that we will choose what is right. But in doing these things, He lets us know there could be even degrees of His will that we can walk in. How many know that God does want us to have His highest and His best? God will always bless us as far as He can, but He cannot bless sin and disobedience. God will bless us as far as He can, but what that means is that His hands are tied when we limit Him, and we're going to find out some ways how we further limit Him in this. So let me say this. How many know that it would be God's good and acceptable will for all of us to be a part of a local church and go to a local church? Come on. Without a shadow of a doubt, we got scripture that lets us know that we're not to neglect the assembly of ourselves together, but all the more as we see their day approaching. Amen. So it's God's good and acceptable will to go to church, but how many know His perfect will actually be His choice of a local church for you, not your own? Now, I know I'm shaking up the bread basket right now, but our bread baskets need to be shaken up. So what I mean by that is, see, I learned this 39 years ago. And thank God that it spared me a lot of heartaches. Because when Pastor Deb and I got saved 40 years ago in 1986, we got on fire for God. And everybody say, thank God. No, I won't. Well, you can say thank God. Everybody say thank God. Amen. Thank God. Thank God for our brothers and sisters in Christ. No matter what denominational background from they are, thank God if they're brothers and sisters in Christ, thank God for them. Okay? I do. And Pastor Deb and I didn't know any different. We were just part of a local church that she grew up in. And because I was chasing her, I had galligion before I had Christ. I chased her. I followed her there. And I fell asleep in those services just like I fell asleep in the services that I was in church in. Come on, it's just the truth. Because when you just go to salve your conscience and don't really understand that the things that are shared from the Word of God are there to change your life. See, I never understood that the things that are being shared could really do the same thing in my life as it did in the things that it shared about Moses. I thought it was wonderful. I didn't doubt that God did those things in Moses, Daniel, praise God, Paul and Silas and all the people, the characters of the Bible. I said, that's good, that's wonderful, but what does that apply to me? It's good that God did it for them, but I don't see Him doing it for me. Well, He will do the same thing for us if we learn to know what they knew and did what they did. But once I found out that God would do for me what He did for them, that changed my attitude. I said, wait one minute. I got to get on to some inside information here. But in going and getting saved in that local church, amen, once I got saved on March the 30th, 1986, it truly changed us from the inside out. I fell in love with this word because I understood this word had the answers. I can tell you, if I can do it, you can do it. I didn't like to read anything other than a hunting magazine, a fishing magazine, or a manual that taught you how to operate the gun you just bought. That's all I cared about. Come on, I'm just telling you. And I didn't know one scripture. I didn't know John 3:16. I didn't know nothing. I didn't know the difference between, I thought Psalms was palms. I thought Job was Job. I can tell you, if God can use me, He can use anybody. But the good news, I've made up my mind, I'm not going to stay where I was. But here's what happened. When we got saved and turned on to God, we did this. We sought God, and we were so hungry for God, we didn't miss a service. And thank God for this local church. We thank God for the local church we were part of. But we didn't have, in the mainline denomination, we didn't have a Wednesday night service. And so we had family members, amen, that was a part of this church, a little storefront back then. They invited us to come to Wednesday night. Well, why wouldn't we come to church on Wednesday night? We're Christians. We're on fire. We want more of God. Why am I going to stay home? I want more of God. I want everything that God has for me. And I saw those people of this church had something I didn't have. It was called the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. I saw they knew God better than I did. And they, not that they had an edge on God, but they knew things I didn't know, and I wanted to know what they knew. I wanted to have every bit of God that I could have. So here's what I did. I knew it was the will of God for me to be in church. I went every time the doors were open. I went Sunday morning. Amen. We did. And we were getting people saved and even filled the Holy Ghost after we got saved and filled the Holy Ghost. But God spared me a lot of heartache. See, that was the church of my choice because I didn't know any better. I was in God's good and acceptable will. It's God's will for every person to be a part of a local church. I'm just telling you, the scripture teaches us that. But there is a difference between be good and acceptable and be in the perfect will of God. How do I know that? Because first of all, the scripture teaches us, and then God let me in on it one night after a Saturday night at 10 o'clock. Pastor Debbie and I just did something that we did that night before we went to bed. We watched a TBN program. Amen, a Christian program. We hadn't been saved but in less than a year or something like that. We would listen to that. At 10 o'clock, she went to bed, and I stayed up, and I did something I did every night before I went to bed, something real spiritual. Eat, drink a Pepsi, and eat a package of Ho-Hos. Praise the Lord. Little Debbie Swiss Miss Cakes, man, they're the best. Now, don't give me any because I don't eat them anymore. And don't tempt me. Praise the Lord. And I switched from Pepsi to Coke, but I don't even drink Coke no more. Praise the Lord. Everybody say, thank you, Pastor Debbie. Praise the Lord. Okay, so I did something spiritual every night before I went to bed. And here's what God did to me. God said, as I was sitting at that table, eating that Ho-Ho and drinking that Coke, I no more expected what just was about to happen than expecting to be the next man on the moon. I'm telling you, I was just thinking about what I heard. I was thinking about the goodness of God, and I heard an audible voice. Only time I ever heard it like this. Now, I heard it just like I'm talking to you, but I know it's really on the inside of me. I heard it. It was unmistakable, and it was the audible voice of God. And God said, son, you asked me to use you and your wife, and I have, but you failed to ask me where I want you. And I'm telling you, I want you at Cornerstone Fellowship Church. I jumped up, ran in. You know the rest of the story, the wave story. Praise the Lord. Amen. Woke up Pastor Debbie on the waterbed. She was, praise the Lord. Amen. Everybody say, no baffles. Amen. And all those that are, you know, over 50 understands what I'm talking about. Praise God. So, Pastor Debbie and I, next day, we met with the pastor, and we said, Pastor, I had the Lord visit me last night. He said, son, you heard from God. I don't blame you. I'd jump off a sinking ship instead of going down with it anyway. That's what he said. We left, and came to be a part of this. What am I saying? I'm telling you, we were in the good and acceptable will of God, but it wasn't until we knew what God's will for us was. In other words, it is God's will for us to be a part of a local church. That's good. But it wasn't, I always say it like this, it wasn't the church of our choice. It was the church of His choice. He knew something I didn't know. He knew if I'm going to have Spirit-filled living, I'm going to need Spirit-filled training and teaching. Come on. And He knew where I would get it at. Praise God. And so we were planted, and it helped us. It changed our lives to go where God's choice that we should go. We would be in the will, in the perfect will of God. And how many know we really do want to be in the perfect will of God? And how many, let me just help, just in case you didn't know, the perfect will of God doesn't mean it's going peaches and cream. Don't mean that that sometimes the message don't rub you wrong. People don't rub you wrong. Everything's going to be perfect because everything ain't. The devil's going to try to get you out of the will of God. So any little thing, well, I don't think the pastor should have done it that way. I don't think, you don't, let me tell you something. There's a lot that I may do that you may not think I should do, but you don't know all the story. But I will ask you this, as long as I don't do something illegal, immoral, unscriptural, distrust your pastor. Come on. And if you have a problem, come see me. Praise the Lord. I don't have nothing to hide, but I can tell you everything that happens, you can't always talk about everything, and nor should it's everybody's business. Praise God. And so we have to move together in the plan and purpose of God. And you know what? There's plenty of times I can tell you stories. Matter of fact, I don't probably not even going to teach my message. No, I'm going to get to it. Praise the Lord. Because I think it's the will of God. But it's the will of God, me tell you some stories. See, the devil, even if you do get to the place that you are in the perfect will of God, and you know what? The devil's going to have little things that come that's going to tempt you to try to move you out of that. I can tell you, the greatest thing we can do is follow the Scripture and follow the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God, when He speaks, a lot of times people say, now listen, don't pray for an audible voice like I had. Pray, it's right to pray that God will lead you by His Word and by His Spirit, but He will do it the way His Word says, and He'll do it as He chooses to. 40 years, I think it's only been once or twice, that time and maybe one other time, that God spoke to me in an audible voice. That time, and Brother Hagin taught me something. He says, God, when He speaks to you in these drastic and these ways that He says in His Word, but many people will live and die, and He will never speak to them in an audible voice. You shouldn't seek an audible voice. You should seek God and let God lead you the ways that He said He would. When you seek things like audible voices, you give yourself open to the devil. So don't seek audible voice. Seek God. But the reason, Brother Hagin said, the reason God sometimes has to do that to you is for a couple reasons. Number one, let me teach you those reasons. Number one, there's rough sailing ahead. And see, let me tell you something. A lot of times, people do not want rough sailing. But when God speaks to you undeniably, it holds you steady when troubles come, because trouble and rough sailing, that's what it means. Trouble and rough sailing. There's going to be storms. There's going to be things that try to blow you off course. And what held us steady of those 15 years was that experience. I can just tell you. Because, I very rarely ever tell this, we had great pastors. But in that first 10 years, I got to say, right down the street, we would do there was another pastor that was a Spirit-filled pastor. Amen. Another church, man, he could preach a house of fire. He asked me to come preach for him. Amen. And I would come there. I was amazed at how he preached the Word of God. I'm talking about he would preach a house of fire. I can hear the devil say, you know what, you ought to go and settle under that ministry. And I contemplated it. But you know what? Every time I looked down here, I knew that wasn't right. Even though he was a great man of God, I already had a great man of God. We need to stop comparing, competing, and all those kind of things. Just know who's supposed to be your pastor and who's supposed to be your local church. Amen. There's a lot of better preachers than I am, but there ain't no better preacher than I am if you're supposed to be under me. That's the thing. Praise the Lord. Now, I can be your pastor, not your master. I don't know why I'm preaching all this today, but anyway. So, I went, listen, I would go and we would have joint services sometime on like Thanksgiving. We would go to their church and they would come to our church that next one. Man, I was amazed every time he preached, because our pastor at that time, he was just a teacher. He stood in one place. He taught the Word of God, taught the Spirit filled walk. It was wonderful. Full of love, full of, but you know, this other pastor, he was all over the place, kind of like me. He was preaching, spitting, praying, prophesying. I mean, praise God. And listen, really, he was no different, no more spiritual than my pastor was. He just have a different delivery. And to be honest with you, I was like, man, I like that style. When I first got saved, I didn't like, Pastor Debbie would like to listen like Rod Parsley and stuff. He's preaching. I said, man, I don't want to listen to him. I want to listen to a teacher. I just want to hear, but it's amazing how you change. You need both. You need it all. But one thing you do is you need a local church where you're going to get it a week in and week out. Because the good news, I mean, the thing about that is that if you just get it at home, listen, you ain't going to pay half as much attention at home as you are when you come here. Praise the Lord. So anyway, the point was, I was tempted. And I said, you know, the devil was saying, you know, you do real good there, man. You could be fit. And I said, I prayed about it. And I just said, I ain't got to pray about this. So I know where I'm supposed to be. And every time, in a short period of time, it proved out. Oh my, if I made the move, I made the worst mistake in my life. Not because he wasn't a man of God, but there's other things that go on. And if you are out of place, no matter how good he is, if you're out of place, you're like Jonah trying to do it your way. Instead of, come on. Woo, I don't know why I'm preaching all this, but well, I know why we're preaching it, because the Holy Ghost is leading it. God is trying to help us. He wants us to have His highest and His best. He wants us to take the limits off. He wants our beliefs and behaviors not to hinder Him to work in our lives. And even though we can have the good and acceptable, He wants us to have the perfect will of God. And in the perfect will of God, let me just tell you something. Brother Hagin said, what did I say? There's stormy seas ahead. There's rough waters ahead, but that will hold you steady. He said the other reason, and he gave three, but I'm going to only give you one more for time's sake. He said the other reason God has to do it that way is because you're too thick and too spiritually immature to get it any other way. I was it, praise the Lord. But I thank God, God did it. It grew me up quick, and I thank God He spared me. I thank God He spared me. Because, you know, one step out of the will of God early can get you off. I mean, listen, I praise God. I remember one day leaving the dock, and it was pretty when I left. I get more than to the, now this is back in my hunting fishing days. I left the dock to go across the bay, and I didn't get to the end of the harbor, and fog was in the bay as thick as you could see. I didn't have, this is before Lorans and all those kind of things and GPSs, and now people can go anywhere. All I had was a compass. But you know what? Me and my foolish buddy said, we ain't going to miss out that fishing day. We've taken off. We're going to go. So, you know what? I just took my time. It was flat calm. That was the only good thing. But you know what? You get about the ship channel, you can't hear the ships. You can't see the ships. I'm talking about thick. What I'm saying is you run by the compass. And when we ran by the compass, when I ran a certain amount of time, I said, we should be along about the ship channel right now. We stop and we hear the ding dong, ding dong. And it's a good thing we didn't hear. Praise the Lord. Praise God. My point is, if you're off just a little bit and you go many miles, how many knows you're many miles off? You'll never get to your destination. And the devil will try to trip us up early. Everybody say good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. How many know God wants us to walk in the perfect will? Amen. And so find your perfect will. Amen. Praise God. And don't be mad. You know, when Brother Hagin said, you're so spiritually dense, you can't get it any other way. I said, yeah, that was me, Lord, but I'm so thankful. Lord, I can't tell you how many times I thank the Lord that He spared me from heartache. It could have took me years to figure out that I wasn't supposed to be trying to change the church I was in. Oh, I was going to change the church I was in. God knew it. I was going to change the church. I wasn't trying to overthrow the pastor. But God didn't call anybody to change the church they're in. God called people to a church where there is a vision and get behind that vision. And in getting behind that vision will fuel whatever you got in your heart. You'll not miss the will of God for your life. Helping to fulfill this vision, God will make sure your vision is filled. That's how it works. And thank God, God taught me that early because he knew I would have shipwrecked. And I would have missed my divine appointment with God. The good, the acceptable, the perfect will of God. Then secondly, in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, we can turn there. Now to him, this is the other verse that we've looked at that showed, that proves that we can limit God. Now to him who's able to do exceedingly abundantly far beyond all we can ask or think. And all of us will say amen. Many times people read half of this verse, they shout, they praise God, and we have every right to shout and praise God, except that's not all the verse. Don't just read half the verse. That's not all it says. It says it's conditional according to the power that works within us. Notice we have a part to play in this. God is able to do, yes, but it didn't say he can do it. It doesn't mean he'll just do it just because he can do it. Because God can't do what you don't allow him to work and do in your life. What you don't invite him to do. What you don't walk with him to do. What you don't want him to do. He's able to do, but it doesn't mean he can just do it. Notice how he does it according to the power that works within us. Because he working and doing exceeding abundantly far beyond all we can ask or think has everything to do with what we do believe and how we cooperate with him. Amen. It's conditional, in other words. So God works or is limited in our lives in working in the proportion to the power that works within our lives. We got to get his power working in our lives. Come on, church. And this is what we're going to talk about today. How do we get, what is that power? And how do we get it working in our lives? Praise God. So I'm going to say it again. God works or is limited in working our lives in proportion to the power that works within us. So today's message with the time that we got left is entitled Knowing How God Works. And this, I would say, is one of the most important things that we can learn. It's knowing how God works. Knowing how God works. Knowing God, because a lot of times people are praying for God to move and do this. We're asking God to do something he's telling us to do. Come on. And until we learn this, many times in the body of Christ, we're asking God to send his Holy Spirit to do. And listen, there's places and things, but God already wants us to know. Listen, he ain't stopped pouring his Spirit out. His Spirit was poured out on the day of Pentecost, and other than it's always been moving. He's just looking for people that will agree and move with him. We should be thanking God that his Spirit is poured out and is continually moving. And we're moving with him. He's teaching us to move with him. He's not withholding. We're praying like, oh God, rend the heavens and come down. How many know that's an Old Testament prayer? But the heavens have been rent. He's come down. He come down. He sent his word and healed us and delivered us from destruction. Zechariah said, ask the Lord the rain in the time of the latter rain. So we can ask the Lord for rain, and we ain't living in the latter rain, but it would be understandable now since the Spirit has been poured out to say, Lord, thank you, your Spirit is poured out, and thank you for filling me afresh that wherever I go, I speak your word with boldness. Lord, I'm going to get filled with the Holy Ghost, pray in other tongues, get direction from you, and go out into my world and make a difference. I'm preaching better than you're saying amen. So when I say knowing how God works, in other words, knowing how God works in our lives, because we need to know how God works in our lives. Because not knowing how God works would be a hindrance or a limiting factor. Not knowing how God really works, not knowing how God really moves, would be a hindrance or limiting factor in our life. And again, we all need to know and remember that God doesn't just arbitrarily work or move in our lives any way he wants. Now, what do you mean arbitrarily work? arbitrarily meaning to move or to work without restraint in his sovereignty or the use of his authority. He will not move any way he just wants to. He's looking for man's cooperation. He will not violate his word. What his word said, he'll go as far and do everything his word said, but he requires cooperation on our behalf for it to be working in our lives. God can't just do what he wants to do in our lives without our cooperation. God must have our agreement and our alignment with his will and invitation in order for him to do what he said he would in our lives. Now write this verse down, and I'm just going to quote it. It says Amos 3:3, how can two walk together unless they agree? One translation says, how can two go in the same direction unless they agree? God wants us to know that unless we agree with him and his word and do it his way, then his hands are off that. Not because he don't love us, not because he don't care for us, not because he's not thinking about us, but he's limited by our beliefs and behavior. So how does God work in our lives? Now, with the time that we have left, we'll do the best that we can to show you this today. Well, at least we'll get started. How many know that I'm coming back next week? Praise God. I hope everybody said, praise God you are. Amen. Amen. Praise. So in other words, I ain't got to feed you the whole bale of hay today. We're not going to be here at 12:30. We're going to be here, and we're going to share a few more thoughts. But these are important thoughts, because these are the thoughts, these kind of things change your life, because when we know how God works in our life, it changes us. Because now we're not begging God to do something, we're actually knowing or wondering, how does God do this now? So you want to know how God works in our life? God, listen, he works the same way he's always worked, according to the truths he set forth in his word. I'm going to say it like this again. God works the same way he always has worked, according to the truth set forth in his word. And the scriptures that are in the word teaches us that God works in our lives this way, through our knowledge. God works in our life through our knowledge, through that knowledge is the key. Everybody say knowledge is the key. But here is the key to that key. Not just any knowledge. Not just any knowledge. We're talking about his knowledge or God's knowledge. We get this knowledge, his knowledge, God's knowledge, one place. Where's that at? His word. We get it one place. And although the scriptures are very clear, there's different kinds of knowledge. I preach messages on this, the 7 kinds of knowledge of God. And I'm not going to do that today, because I don't even think I'm going to get through what I thought I was preaching today. But it's all right, we're getting what we need today. Praise the Lord. And although there are different kinds of knowledge, the Bible talks about the knowledge that we're talking about is God's knowledge, and the scripture teaches us about that. In other words, it's the Greek word epinosis. It's the Greek word epinosis. Here's what it means, the knowledge of God. It means the clear, precise, exact knowledge of God. We could call it, in the scripture, as we're about to find out, calls it revelation knowledge. In other words, it's knowledge that is revealed from the Word of God, and those truths become living and alive to us through the revelation of the Holy Spirit. In other words, we have a spiritual wisdom and understanding of what the Word teaches. It doesn't just go in one ear and come out the other. We actually understand spiritually what the Scripture says. In other words, we have a spiritual understanding. That's the knowledge that God works through in our life. If we don't have that knowledge, He's not going to work in our lives. Not because He don't want to. Not because we're evil. It's because we lack something that's the way that God moves. You know, you could build a house and leave all the wiring out of it and wander in on the housewoman, why ain't no lights working? Because you didn't run no wires. Come on. We got to have the means where the power flows, and the power flows through our knowledge. Our knowledge, just not any knowledge, our knowledge of God. Revelation knowledge revealed from His Word and by us through the Holy Spirit. So here's a great example of this in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 9. Colossians chapter 1 verse 9, we read from the Amplified Translation. It says, for this reason we also, from the day we heard it, have not ceased to pray and make special requests for you, asking that you may be filled with the full, deep, and clear knowledge. Listen, the full, deep, and clear knowledge of His will. How many know the full, deep, and clear knowledge of His will is His perfect will for your life? In all spiritual wisdom and comprehensive insight into the ways and purposes of God. How many know that the ways and purposes of God have everything to do with how God will move in our life? How is it? And in understanding and discernment of spiritual things. In other words, this is talking about the spiritual wisdom and understanding of God's Word. Revelation knowledge is what we must have. Not just any knowledge. Not just sense knowledge. In other words, sense knowledge would mean this. What I go by, what I can touch and taste and feel. How many know there's a lot of Christians, they're called carnal Christians, but they're trapped by that only. We're not called to live that way. Whenever the Word of God, the Word of God always supersedes all other knowledge. So when knowledge in the world in science says, well, this is something, we're going to find out sooner or later that what the revelation knowledge of God's Word, the Word of God will always supersede what we know and prove to be true. So, there's things in science today, people still find out, well, the Bible said that a long time ago and we said something else. But it's proven it all the time. The Bible is right. What we must understand, God is always right. And it's the spiritual wisdom and understanding. This is the knowledge that we need because this is what we must understand. God works in our life through knowledge, His knowledge. Without His knowledge, He's not working in our lives. We have limited Him. We have tied His hands. It doesn't mean He don't love us. It means that we're not doing what looses the power of God. God works in our life through His knowledge. And by this means this, listen, by what we know and believe about Him. When I say God works in our lives through knowledge, don't miss this next statement. By what we know and believe about Him. You got to know and believe about Him. The knowledge He wants you to have is what you know and believe about Him. What you know and believe about Him, because you know what you know and believe Him is called? It's called faith, church. What you know and believe about God is called faith. Glory be to God. And how does faith come? By hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That's how it comes. By hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And in Romans, write it down. That's Romans 10, 17. But write this down. Romans 10, 8 calls, Paul said, I preach the Word of faith. Why is it called the Word of faith? Because it's the Word that faith comes by. God's Word always produces faith. It is what we know and believe about Him that looses the power of God. Ephesians 3:20 says, according to the power of Him, the power that works within us. That's faith. Everybody say, that's faith. That's my faith in God. Our knowledge of God produces faith. And listen, where our knowledge, where our epinosis, where our knowledge of God begins or ends, so does our faith and the power of God working in our lives. I'm going to say that again. Where our knowledge of God begins or ends, so does our faith and the power of God from working in us. God's power works in our lives through our faith in God. So God works in our life in the proportion that our faith allows Him to. In our lives, oh, this is so important. Oh, we want God to do anything. Oh, God, you say you can do exceeding abundantly far beyond. I'm going to ask it. Look, God, you know I can think big. But He says, it's according to the power that works within you. It's according to the faith that works in you. And you can't quote now Scripture. Now, I'm not saying that to be mean, but there's no power if you don't have faith in the Word of God. Faith begins and ends with your knowledge of God's Word. So in other words, it begins where your knowledge is. Where your knowledge stops of God's Word, so does your faith stop. This is why this book is so important, called the Bible. In our lives, listen to what I'm getting ready to say. God goes where our faith puts Him. God goes where our faith allows Him to go. Woo, glory to God. God, I'm just praying that all my needs will be. God, somehow, you just got to do it. No, you got to cast your care on the Lord and then just find out what His Word says. It says, my God will supply all my needs according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. But Paul said that in conjunction with giving and receiving tithes and offerings. He says, because you have given, listen, church, because you have given, you can make that, you can boldly declare that. A lot of people are declaring things that God says promises in His Word, but they haven't met the requirements. God, you said that by your stripe, by Jesus' stripes, yeah, Pastor said, yeah, and you said it, Lord. I'm being a little facetious, but listen, by your stripes, Jesus, I was healed. Well, that's what the Scripture says, but when are you going to make it your own? It ain't just what the pastor said. It's what you believe that God said to you that makes a difference. But God moves in life to the proportion of what we know and believe about Him. So when we have something going on, we ain't got to claw and squall and beg and cry. We just have to know what the Scripture says and then declare it. This. Lord, I thank you. By Jesus' stripes, I'm healed. In the midst of what you feel, in the midst of what you see, in the midst of all the reports, you got to say what the Word says. Let me tell you something. You better have done this. So many of you have worked this so good in your salvation because some of you get up in the morning, the devil tried to remind you of what you did 3 weeks ago, or what you did 10 years ago, and all those kind of things. But you better not let that haunt you. You better put him in his place and say, nope, I'm a new creature in Christ. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Some of you have graduated from the feelings of condemnation and guilt and your past has haunted you. But you've come to realize through the knowledge of God's Word that the echo of your past is not the voice of your future. And you have decided to wake up and said, God lives in this man. I'm a new creature in Christ. Old things are passed away. Old things are become new. I'm forgiven. I'm righteous. I'm healed because of Christ. It's all because of Him. And then the devil runs away. You've learned to put him in his place there. But there's other places you got to learn to put him in place too. And you do it by the knowledge of his word, by what you know and believe about him. Know and believe. You got to know it first and you got to believe it. And you ain't believing until you're acting on it. If you never put it in your mouth, it ain't working in your life. Come on, if you never put it in your mouth, it ain't working in your life. Praise be to God. I'm telling you how God works and God's moves. It ain't a mystery, church. God has showed us in His Word. God in our lives, God goes where our faith puts Him or where we allow Him to go. God goes or works where our faith invites or put Him in our lives. Woo, glory to God. Our knowledge of God produces faith power that enables God to do the exceedingly abundantly, far beyond all we could ask or think in our lives. Aren't you glad? Okay, so let's look at this. I preach myself happy today. And we need to look at this verse in closing. In 2 Peter, would you look there with me? In 2 Peter, we'll turn here and we'll close with this. There's a lot more that I have, but I'm coming back next week. I hope you are. Praise God. 2 Peter chapter 1, so how did God work in our life? Through knowledge. What kind of knowledge? His knowledge. So God works in our lives through what we know and believe about Him. Oh, maybe I don't need to read this verse. Maybe I just need to stand here and say that until you get it. Let me tell you something. I'm not trying to be mean. This is how important this is. I hope every message, it ain't just another message. I hope you don't think that. Pastor, you had to come up with something. You pulled a good rabbit out of the hat today, bless God. No, I thank God you pray for me, and I hear from heaven, and God is feeding the sheep something they need to win in life and defeat the devil and force his defeat. How does God work? Through what? Through knowledge. Through what we know and believe about Him. And this, and He works through our, you said it, Brother Brian, faith. He works through our faith. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them attained like precious faith. We've attained like precious faith through the righteousness of God in Jesus, our and our Savior Jesus Christ. First of all, right here, if we're a believer, we have the same like precious faith that Peter had. Because when we get born again, we get the measure of faith. Amen. And that faith can be developed and grow, obviously, because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. But we all have faith. It's not that we don't have faith. We do have faith. Matter of fact, we have like precious faith, have obtained it. How do we do it? By making Jesus the Lord and Savior of our life, and we become the righteous of God in Christ. Now, here's the keys. Here it goes on, verse 2. It says, grace and peace be multiplied to you through the knowledge of God. Here's that word again, epinosis. Through what we know and believe about God, through our knowledge of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. See, how are we going to get grace and peace or anything else? Grace is everything that God gives us, including peace. Grace and peace, everything that God offers, all His inheritance that He gives us or provided for us comes to us through the knowledge of God. How does God work in our life? Through our knowledge, what we know and believe about Him. Through our knowledge of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 3, according as His divine power. Woo! How many know His divine power is connected back to His Word, which produces faith in our life, it's connected to the knowledge that we have. That produces our faith in God. Had given us to us all things that to pertain to life and godliness. Lord, I just wish You would move. I just wish You would do something. God said, find out all these things that I've already given you and just declare it boldly. I can tell you, God moves in our life through knowledge, what we know and believe about Him. We ain't got to beg Him for healing. We ain't got to beg Him for anything. He's promised by His grace. We just need to say, God, You've given that. I simply receive that. Praise the Lord. Glory be to God. All things that pertain to life of godliness. All things means all things. How do we get it? Through the knowledge of Him who called us through glory and virtue. Notice once again, everything's connected back. God moving our life through our knowledge of Him. Verse 4, and it says, whereby are given to us the exceeding great and precious promises. Where do we get our knowledge from? Through the exceeding great precious promises. All His promises produces the knowledge of God. That by these, what? By the promises, by knowledge of God, that we may be partakers of the divine nature and have escaped in the corruption that's the world through lust. Everything, our knowledge of God births this faith that we need to do for God to move and do exceeding abundantly far beyond our ask or think. Look at your neighbor and say, listen. Look at your neighbor and say, you ain't seen nothing yet. Come on, that's what God wants you to know and believe. You ain't seen nothing yet. And some of you say, well, I ain't seen nothing yet. But I'm teaching you how. That's how. Praise God. If I can do it, you can do it. Our faith and our knowledge of God births faith. It is faith. Our knowledge of God is faith's power. And our knowledge of God enables faith's power to work in our lives. This is why Satan fears our knowledge of God's Word and works tirelessly to keep us from knowing and believe in it. Say it with me, knowing how God works. And how does God work? I'm going to answer for you. By what we know and believe Him. By what we know and believe about Him. And what is that called? It's called faith. Everybody say it's called faith. We must understand there's a Godward side and a manward side to everything. The Godward side is what God has given by His grace. The manward side is what we can receive by our faith. Amen. We can't do God's part. We can't do God's part. We can't save ourselves. We can't provide redemption. We can't save ourselves or deliver ourselves. Old people try it all the time. But they can't. We can't do God's part, provide redemption. We can't save ourselves. And He can't do our part, have faith, believe and receive what is given. He can't receive Himself for us. As much as He wants us to be saved, He can't. Apart of our cooperation. And for us knowing how God works, here's how God works. Through our knowledge, what we know and believe about Him. He tells us what He'll do and He expects that to produce faith in our heart. Matter of fact, He says it will. And then from that place, we're to believe and receive it. That's how that works. For God to work in our lives, He's made our cooperation necessary in the plan of redemption and from us benefiting from it. This is why Mark, write it down. We don't have time to teach it all. Mark 9:23, we may teach it next week. Mark 9:23 says, Jesus said, if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. This is why Lillian B. Yeomans made this statement. Put that slide up for me. She says, God has made man's faith a determining factor in the execution of his divine purposes. Everything is not all up to God. We have a part to play, and we have to let the power of truth and faith work in us. Our part is believing. God's part is performing the miracle. And faith is the power that takes the limits off of God in our lives and all and allows Him to work, move, and do exceedingly abundantly, far beyond all we could ask or think. Let me tell you something that's true in salvation. I'm going to prove it to you as I close. Brother Ryan, come. We love you. Would you come? This is true in salvation. This is true in healing. This will be true in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. This will be true in all things of God. The only reason that we are not saved, that the only reason we are not healed, or the only reason we have not received the baptism of the Holy Spirit is either because we don't know God offers it, amen, or we don't believe that He has. That's the way it works. See, what happens a lot of times, the devil may know that we know that God has offered something, but he always comes with some kind of faith-destroying thing. Let me give you an example today in closing. And I mean that. If we're not saved, if we've never been born again, when we hear the word that says God so loved the world and He knows that you understand that the world is you, that God so loved you, so you take it from somebody else and now you see through the lens that God sees you, I love you. And I want you to be my son or daughter. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Once you find out that God loves you, and that's good, but you got to find out how He expressed that love. He expressed it through sending His Son. And why did He send His Son? That whoever will believe in Him will not perish but have everlasting life. It was the means of what His Son did that provided salvation for the whole world. That's why He came. So salvation could be provided. So that we could be forgiven. And we could receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior and be born again and be saved. But we have to receive that. We have to come to the place to know that when we hear the word, that faith comes. Something happens in our heart. I remember sitting there in 1986, and I didn't know anything about the Bible, but I knew this. Suddenly, I knew that God loved me. Suddenly, I mean by revelation, I knew that God loved me, and I knew this. I wasn't right with God. I love what Billy Graham always said. Billy Graham said, you know, before you get a person saved, you got to get them lost. See, the reason with so many people, they just don't know why they need a Savior. They think they're all right. They think that they've done good things. They think they're churchgoers. So see, I did all that stuff. And this is why I share these things all the time, because we live in a community church. And it's just not just in our community. There's untold multitudes that are sitting in pews today that think their good works have earned their way to heaven. They think that somehow by being American or just being a good old boy or just donning the church door or praying makes them right with God. But you got to have a revelation of how God works and moves. So here's the revelation. God's already moved. He sent His Son. And that day I sit there, I knew He had sent His Son, but now I understood He sent it for me. And I understood that I was lost. I really was lost. And really, I knew it in my hearts and hearts. But see, you try to cover it up with, you know, all your good works. You try to weigh all the reasons why, you know, you can say you're saved and say you're right with God and live any old way you want to, but you can't and be right with God. But when I heard that day by revelation that Jesus died for me and He was the Savior of the world, I understood that I was the world He came to save. And I had a true repentance in my heart, a brokenness in my heart that I knew I wasn't right with God. I deserved hell. I never deserved anything good. And I deserved everything that would be evil. And I didn't want any of that. I ran to God. And He was there for me. And I understood that whoever would believe on Him, and that simply means, how do we know that we're believing right? Well, the Scripture, you go back to the Scripture, what His Word, about what we know and believe about Him. What do we know? It says, as many as received His Son, Jesus Christ, to them He gave power to become the sons of God. He gives us power to become sons of God through believing. That's receiving His Son and personally make Him the Lord of life. And when we do that, God does what He says He'll do. He'll save us. He'll take the stony heart of flesh out. He'll forgive us of our sins. He'll give us a new heart and a new start. He'll make us new creatures in Christ. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things have become new. He's given us eternal life. This is how it works. This is how God works and moves in life, through our knowledge, what we know and believe about Him. Where our knowledge begins and ends, so does that power begin and end. Today, no matter what you have need of, if you have God's knowledge of His Word and what He said, right where you're seated, you can grab whatever you have need of from Him. If it's healing, you can say, Lord, I see that. I receive it by faith. By His stripes, I'm healed. Thank You, Lord. It's mine. I have it now. Thank You. You're a good God. How does this power? Through our knowledge, what we know and believe. Believing receives. And Jesus said, didn't I not say, if you believe, you'll see the glory of God? Believing always comes before seeing. People want to see and then believe, but believing always comes before seeing. And it is important as healing, as important as the baptism of the Holy Spirit is. And anything that God gives is part of an inheritance that belongs to us. But I think in this congregation, we have a heart for every person receiving God's highest and best. But we sure have a heart for anyone that may have never received God's first and greatest gift that we all need, and that's salvation. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Christians in attitude of prayer. You're here today.